This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour as we worship in song and bring you God's message He laid upon our hearts. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence this morning. Thank Thee for Thy grace that rests upon us as in us, and grace that we can proclaim the word of truth and proclaim it in truth. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy mercies. Thank Thee for our precious Lord this morning. Oh, who died for sinners such as we, gave His life a ransom for many, poured out His precious blood to cover our sins, and the blood that brings us nigh unto Thee. And only through Him have we received everything, all the blessings, all the gifts. And our Father, we pray that You'll lead us in this hour, every listener here in our radio land. Bless Thy word, bless every heart, open every heart, convict sinners, and show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll come to see what sinners they are under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. And our Father, cry unto Thee for deliverance from their sins. And they'll come to know Christ, who came to save sinners, and who delivers us from our sins and gives us a right standing in the Father, in Him. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory this morning for everything that's said or done. For Christ's sake, we ask it all, and in His name, amen. Amen. Now let's sing number 116, What a Wonderful Savior. 116. Sing it right on out. What a wonderful Savior. Savior He is. What a wonderful Savior. Now, Let's sing another song. 264. I know whom I have believed. Let's stand as we sing it. Thank you. Be seated. Yes, I know whom I have believed. You can say that. You're saying it, but can you say that? I know whom I have believed. Can you sing it with a clean heart? Sing it with a heart that's broken. Broken because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Now we're glad to see everyone here this morning. We have a gracious crowd. Now I want us to turn to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter of Hebrews. All right, you have it. Let's begin reading from the first verse. I thought I would read portion of it, but I'd have to read the whole. Let's begin reading from the first verse of Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother. Melchizedek was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, talking about Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek where there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. I like that statement there. But after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant or a better testament. And they truly were many priests during the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died just like you and I. Men that died, assigned to their duties, and when their duties were completed, they died. But this man, now listen, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Praise the Lord for that. He's our reigning high priest up yonder in glory land now at the right hand of the majesty on high. His priesthood never changes. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. I praise him. He makes intercession for us, his people, this morning. Make an intercession for me. He prayed for me all this past week that my faith fail not, that we wouldn't go under the burden of the work. He prayed for you, my Christian friend. He prayed for the brokenhearted. Prayed for the sufferer. That individual in Christ who is suffering, who is being tempted, who is all but to go under. What a faithful high priest. He ever liveth. And he continued his office continually. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, he died once and for all, never to die again, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he ever liveth, and that word ever liveth means that he continually lives, and never again will he die. Never again will men gnash at him down here upon this earth. Never again will he witness a blasphemous oath from the unsaved. He ever liveth on high where they cannot touch him now. They can touch us here, but he's ever faithful. He liveth. He prayed for us. He made an intercession. Do you know, my friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't praying for me this morning, I would go under. I would go under never to come rise again. You know, if he wouldn't have prayed for me yesterday, all the day, as the mood I was in, and it was a melancholy mood, which is not very good mood to get into, I would have failed to be his representative here this morning in declaring his message and telling you about a living Christ. And that's my subject this morning, is that he is a surety of a better covenant, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the surety of we need him. We cannot do without him. If you tell me you can live without Christ, then you don't know him. Now you think of that, my friends. And there's so many today that lives without him and seemingly move about with no idea of him. Well, there's a good sign there that individual knows nothing. Ever since God saved me, my friends, I've been dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. And I was somewhat like Peter these past weeks, just turning me over to Satan to sift me. Oh, but he said, Peter, he said, I pray that your faith fail not. Though our nerves give way, and though our health gives way, and though we suffer for his cause and for the gospel's sake, our faith will not fail. The body will give way, but praise God for his elective faith, the faith of God's elect, and that we belong to him. Now listen. Now with that thought in mind, look at that 24th verse again. But this man, talking about Christ, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Yes, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Awaken, sinner. He never changes. He remains the same. Now, wherefore, look at that 25th verse. How sweet. How sweet and precious are the words that flow from the lips of our blessed Lord. Wherefore, he is able also to save them. Not for a little time. Not for a moment. Not for a day. Not for a year. But save them unto the uttermost. Save them to the uttermost. And that word uttermost takes in all kinds of sinners, all types of sinners, rebels, the down and out, the harlot, saves all types of sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, my friends. And this is commendable of him. He came into this world to save sinners. And listen, he's able to save them to the uttermost. Had come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. To come to God by who? Come to God by Christ. Come to God by Christ as the Holy Spirit who shows you Christ, who reveals him as God's sin offering, as God's substitute for sinners. And he's the one you want. He's the one you must hunger and long after. He saves them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now let's go on. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners,
separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. And that's what the high priest had to do. First offer up sin, offer up a sacrifice for his own sins. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. He was perfect. He didn't have to do that. There was no need of him to do it. Let's repeat that again. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself as a sin offering. Don't you praise him, my believer? Don't you praise him, awakened sinner? Can't you see that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin? He offered himself up as a sin offering once and for all. And my friends, this morning, there's a sin offering that lied at your door, that lies right there. There's a sin offering for you. There's a sin offering there for you. Christ offered up himself as a sin offering for you. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. You know, I just praise the Lord for his grace this morning. I praise him. And that, you know, he's able to succor those that are tempted. He's able to succor them, to understand, undertake for them those who suffer. I want us to look this morning at the 22nd verse of this chapter. Look at it. Christ our surety. Listen, everything else may fail. Everything else may fail, but Christ is our surety. I may never utter another word or teach another lesson or pray another prayer, but Christ my surety. He's the surety of the new covenant. That's right. It's a new covenant. Now let's look at it. Christ was made a surety of a better covenant. The old covenant gave way to a new, a lasting one. One that's unchangeable with an unchangeable priest. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that? Now they go hand in hand together. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's repeat that again. I'm exalting a crucified, buried, and risen Lord this morning, and you listen. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when God laid upon him the sin of us all, the sin of all the elect, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen, every sinner outside of Christ owes a debt to justice. The law said, the soul that sinned, it shall die. You owe a debt to justice, every sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, he made the satisfactory payment of the sinner's debt to justice. Now, I praise the Lord for his eternal word. I know we cannot see these things unless God, the Holy Spirit, illuminates our eyes, our understanding. And may he do that this morning. From the youngest to the eldest, he'll open your heart. And that's the prayer as I preach here and bring God's message Now repeat that again. He had made him who knew no sin. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. And he was the only one who can atone for the sins of God's people. He made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. And let me repeat this. Every sinner outside of Christ owes a debt to justice. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, he made the satisfactory payment of the sinner's debt to justice. Now we must go back to that which took place before the foundation of the world. God the Father and God the Son made a covenant. You know, men are ignorant of that covenant today. Every individual who ever gets saved was purposed. Their salvation was purposed back in eternity. Now you think of that. God the Father and God the Son made a covenant. Back in the cycles of eternity, they had a conference. God the Father and God the Son. There's nothing that takes either by surprise. Everything is working according to their plan. The plan they made back in eternity. It became the covenant of grace, whereby sinners will be saved. God's people will be saved. The word covenant means agreement. Now, the condition of this covenant, we might say, or the basis of this agreement, was that God would choose. Now, you listen to this, and you heard somewhat of that this morning on the Voice of Truth broadcast. Let me repeat this again. The condition of this covenant that God the Father and God the Son made, or the basis of this agreement, was that God would choose, elect, and predestinate, as the first chapter of Ephesians teaches, call and justify and glorify a certain number among man's fallen race, and that the Son would lay down his perfect life for that number. Now that's always taken care back in eternity. The word of Christ was the bond that sealed the covenant. And you can imagine what happened there. Go back in your mind to the cycles of eternity, where God the Father and God the Son made a covenant of grace that God the Son, would die for those whom God the Father would choose, elect, predestinate, and be conformed unto his Son. Now you know it's grace when God reveals these great things to you. As many things we do not understand, and many things I did not understand before God saved me. How God saves a sinner. When an individual comes under Holy Spirit conviction for salvation, that's the reason why the Holy Spirit must unlearn that sinner of everything he or she has ever learned and begin to teach them God's way of salvation, God's way of grace. It has a good beginning. Now, salvation in Christ is a beginning, the good beginning in the early stages. When God begins to deal with your heart. I'll show you something after a while, too, as we go on. I don't want to get ahead of my time. Now, the word of Christ was the bond that sealed the covenant. Christ was willing. Christ subjected himself unto that punishment. Upon that debt that should befall him, he was obedient unto the Father. And the death of Christ on the cross was the fulfilling of that covenant. Now, this covenant was the beginning of grace. In the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life as a ransom for sinners. That's the covenant of grace. We read in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Those whom the Lord knows, who are his, they were chosen, they were elected, they were predestinated, they were called, they are justified and glorified in Christ before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the foundation of the world, every believer had a perfect standing in Christ. You know, nothing takes God by surprise. And just to think that God loved me before I ever knew the love of God myself. He loved me back in eternity. He predestinated me. Now, you may say that's a hard thing to believe. It is. Unless the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of supplication will hover over you. But just because you may not believe it, don't cast it aside as something that's foreign and cannot be known. And if you, God's elect, one day, if he hadn't already revealed it to you, one day he will. And you'll be amazed and surprised the grace of God. Yes, we may use the word grace, and we'll just say it as just a common thing. But when we think of it in the light of eternity, how God predestinated us and loved us with an eternal love, eternal salvation, and in the mind of God, we were already saved. Then grace becomes a different, it has a different meaning. And when we say, oh, the grace of God, and what a difference it makes, and when the Apostle Paul declared, he said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. Well, there's a different meaning there than the word grace is commonly known today and used today by church members. They don't know anything about grace. They may think that grace, well, I'm saved now. I made a decision for Christ, and that's grace. Oh, yeah, that's grace. And they count that as the grace of God, the grace that bringeth salvation, but it doesn't. Now, in the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life as a ransom for sinners. Now, we can never know that except it be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let me repeat this again. Those whom the Lord knoweth were chosen. Now I know I was chosen. Now, before God saved me, I didn't know that. All I knew that I was a hell-deserving sinner. All I knew is that I was an awakened sinner. And I wanted Christ, and I was guilty. That's all I knew. But I had no idea that I was chosen in Christ. Not until after God saved me. And then I didn't know anything about election, that I was elected. And all I knew, I was a sinner. Oh, what a sinner I am. What a guilty, hell-deserving, rebellious sinner I am. That's all I knew. And all I wanted and longed for was the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. I wanted Christ more than anything else in this world. I did. So I didn't have an idea that I was chosen, elected, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified in Christ before the foundation of the world. And sometimes it's not good for sinners to know too much, to know all of that. And the thing you want to know is what a sinner you are. And the Holy Spirit will, if you ever come to the Holy Spirit conviction, you certainly will learn that lesson. What a sinner you are. and the condemnation that you are under, the judgment of God that hangs heavy upon your head, and that is nothing but hell before you. And praise God, he does not leave the sinner there, but brings him on to Christ, and then shows him what Christ did for him. Shows him that Christ died for him. Show him that what the mercies of God did for him. Now, every one of God's elect were included in the covenant of grace. I don't know who God's elect are here this morning. You here? But I don't know whether you're God's elect or not. You've been drawn here. But as we look back and through the years, and see how many did come, and how many we thought surely they were God's elect, and how many we thought they were so near the kingdom, but they're gone. Gone forever. Listen, my friend, your desire should that you want Christ. You want to know him. Now, you remember that. And may the Holy Spirit open your heart and deal with you on those grounds of what a sinner you are. And then only then will you come to know who Christ is and learn of him. You see, many times we want to get ahead. And no wonder there are people who know all kind of doctrines today. They know all about predestination, all about election, all about being chosen of God. But they can never tell you anything about being a sinner under Holy Spirit conviction. And there was a time in their heart and life that they had a longing after Christ. And that's all they knew. Oh, what a sinner I am. Oh, pray for me, will you? Pastor, will you pray for me? And you'll meet a believer somewhere and say, be sure to pray for me that I may know Christ. All I knew is what a sinner I was. I heard the messages on election, predestination, but all the time the spotlight was on my soul of what a sinner I was and the condemnation I was under. I had no thoughts for being elected and predestinated. Predestinated or being chosen. I wanted Christ. Night and day, I wanted Christ. I wanted him. Where can I get relief? Where can I have this burden of sin rolled away? But do you know you've been predestinated? Don't you know you've been chosen? Well, I don't know about that. But I know I'm a sinner, and I'm hell deserving. And unless I get to Christ, I'm going to hell. You see? Now, you think along that line. It's well to know these great doctrines. But when you leave Holy Spirit conviction, and then you'll just learn things of the mind. It's all right to know them, but let's not forget that if you're a sinner, now I know many are following me in the studies here, and what great blessings are set before us. But my friends, let me tell you, let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? And not be taken up with the blessings and what we're learning from the scriptures, but be taken up with Christ, the surety of the new covenant. Now, I came up here this morning and I said, Lord, I know at home, I said, Lord, I'm concerned about their soul. I'm concerned about their salvation. Not so much knowledge that we get by studying the scriptures. But if you know Christ, then all of these truths will fall in this rightful place. But let me tell you something. You will not rejoice in what truths you know and you've learned and what knowledge you have, but you'll rejoice in Christ. Now you get that. Now we read in Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, he was the faithful mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful mediator. Now, this is where we draw confidence and strength in Christ, knowing that he is the faithful mediator. He's our surety. He's the surety of a better covenant. Isn't that wonderful? In Hebrews, the second chapter, I want to read something here. In the second chapter of Hebrews, that ninth verse, remember, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Look in your Bible, that tenth verse. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For then, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Listen to this. He, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isn't that wonderful? That's what my Lord did for me. Who were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Fear. Deliver us from fear. Give us a sound mind. Giving us a good hope through grace. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that. Those gracious truths there. And then if you look at Hebrews, the third chapter, the first and second verses of it, listen, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And then you go and you can read the rest of that chapter. It'll bless your heart. Yes, Christ is the faithful mediator. He is. Of the covenant of grace as God's surety and also our surety. He's my surety this morning. He is. His word was his bond. He kept his word. Praise him. His death was the fulfillment of the covenant. In death he became surety for all of God's elect. In other words, he secured our salvation. He sealed it with his own precious blood. He paid our sin debt in full, a debt we owed to justice. He became responsible for every one of God's elect. And not a one will be lost. Isn't that wonderful? Not a one whom God decreed back in eternity that he would call, elect, predestinate, not a one of those individuals will be lost. So I'm not discouraged from that viewpoint at all. I know when we preach the gospel, teach it, set it out on tapes, through the printed page, whatever means, we know God's message is going out, God's elect are going to hear it, and they're going to be drawn unto him, and we'll be sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, not a one will be lost. But just suppose, let's not suppose. There's no mistakes in God's plan of redemption. We're reading in Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ obtained our salvation by being obedient. Now, how are we saved? How are you and I saved? Christ obtained our salvation by being obedient. Now, you and I are saved by being obedient. Obedient unto the Word of God. Obedient unto the will of God. Now, that's the way you and I are saved. Salvation, I'm going to give you something here. Salvation in Christ means deliverance from the power of sin. Now, you get this. Salvation in Christ means deliverance from the power of sin. Now, this is what makes it, the question arises whether the individual is saved or not. I don't care how much an individual professes Christ. I don't care how much an individual sings about Christ. I don't care how much an individual labors in the vineyard of Christ. It doesn't matter. This is the telltale of the whole thing in salvation. Now, you get this. Salvation in Christ means deliverance from the power of sin. It means the surrendering of your will. Now, you get that. Now, let me tell you, brothers, sisters, if your will is not surrendered unto the will of God, then your will, which shows that you have never been saved, and every time the gospel comes in contact with your will to the obedience of Christ, you will flare up, you will argue, you will question God's word, you will question God's authority, which means that your will is still the same as it ever was, which means You're determined to have your own way, to do what you will, and no matter what anybody else might say to the contrary, and then you'll flare up, and you'll hit for the patches or hit here and there to get away from the Word of God because it stings you, it convicts you, and shows you that you have nothing, that your will has never been surrendered unto the will of God. Now, you get that. Now, I've had occasions to witness that in the last couple of weeks, and I've been trusting the Lord, looking to Him. Anytime anyone's will flares up against the will of God or against my authority as God's servant and continues to do so and never submits unto the obedience of the Word of God, that individual is giving himself away. He's giving himself away that individual knows nothing about a broken will or a broken heart or a contrite spirit. And Christ means nothing to that individual. Now, I'll tell you what, I've seen that happen. And every time individuals get in that situation, they'll try to smooth over by doing works. They'll try to smooth over with a little religion and thinking that everybody will forget about it. And then the first thing you know, the will of God hits that and convicts that conscience again, it's ready to flare up again. And I've had it flare in my face, and the Lord says, now, you stand exactly where you are and then preach to sinners unless they know Christ. Unless they're convicted and they've got a broken will, they know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ and never will know about Him. And I think I got somebody sitting in my audience this morning. Let things go contrary to will, and they want to flare up my face and against my authority and say, question me, and then the first thing you know, he's giving himself away. He knows nothing about the Lord. I don't care how much amens you might say. Now, brother, salvation is the greatest thing in the world. And salvation is knowing the will of God and being subjection and obedient unto Him And the same individuals, my late pastor had trouble with those same individuals. They have never broken. And they're flaring up on them under my ministry. But I'm not going to be moved. You're going to listen, be obedient, or get out. I don't care who it is. Your soul's at stake, and I'm going to be true to you. Unless you come clear and come clean before God, you're going to hell. Whether it's here or in radio land, goodbye. I must leave you now in radio land.